Rates of volunteering around the country suffered a lot during the pandemic, and today we'll touch on this and also why volunteering is so healthy for us and what it contributes to the economy. We recorded this story midway through last year, and so many of you called in with wonderful stories about how volunteering has enriched your lives. I also spoke with office worker by day and SES volunteer by night, Gus Sabatino. And I started by asking Gus how he got involved in the first place.
I volunteered for a very long time at a professional level through my career. And when I came into Canberra about 6 years ago, I actually started noticing the devastation of storms and a lot of freak natural incidents around the community, and it kind of triggered my interest in terms of changing my volunteering from professional to community-based. And I did that. I actually went in, you know, for all, and I haven't been looking back since. It's been a great experience. The volunteering community, as you mentioned, it's a very heartwarming community, because everybody's actually giving their own personal time for someone else in need or for a community engagement that is needed. And it's been a fantastic experience.
And so, Gus, in joining as a volunteer the State Emergency Service in the ACT, had you ever done that kind of work ever before?
No. So the emergency services piece was something that through the media and looking at what was happening triggered my interest. I've always been a handyman, you know, working around the house and doing all sorts of things with tools, etc. But never thought of the putting that to action to help someone else. And I think seeing what was going on, seeing the number of orange people that were around helping at the time, triggered something in me that said, okay, let's give this a go because this is worthwhile. And I did.
So you are now officially one of the orange people, Gus.
I'm one of the orange people, absolutely. And it's great. It's a great feeling.
What are some of the situations you've been involved with as a volunteer within the SES that, you know, you will carry with you?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I'm in Canberra, and we all know what's been going on Australia-wide as well over the last 24 months, for example. You know, we've had fires, we've had freak storms, we've got situations where Canberra was hit with massive hailstorms, you know, hail the size of, bigger than golf balls, almost the size of tennis balls. And those are the activities that we go out and support. Our prime focus is storm and flood engagement. In Canberra, we also are the arms and legs for the federal police when it comes to search and rescue. So all of those activities are things that we do for the community, and being part of that, it's really self-fulfilling on one side, because it actually makes me feel good. But when you see what you do for others when they are in need, it provides a very different level of satisfaction.
You can hear the pride in describing your contribution, Gus, and let's not take away from the fact that, of course, you're providing so much essential benefit during great times of need, no question at all. But there's also the personal benefits, the spiritual benefits that flow to you as an individual. And professionally, Gus, what does volunteering for the SES do and inform in your paid work?
I guess it's a sense of awareness. It's really great satisfaction when you walk into the office and, you know, people say thank you for no reason at all. You're donning, you know, your uniform, and, you know, you've just come out of a job and you go and get a coffee or you go and buy something, and without any, you know, request, someone says thank you for your service. And it's really good, you know. It actually makes you feel emotionally happy, satisfied. Professionally, I guess I've got a great deal of support from the organizations that I've been working with, which is also, you know, very welcome. knowing that you're doing something for someone else when they are in need. I think that's, for me, that's the most important part of that volunteering in this area of the volunteering sector, you know, the emergency services.
And Gus, just anecdotally, we're talking here overall nationally about the drops in volunteer hours, and no one's blaming anyone for that because there's been enormous pressures on all of us over the last 18 months. But anecdotally within the SES, did you see less people turning up because of what's happening for them personally?
Look, I guess the last 24 months, like I said, you know, have been something that has stirred a lot in the community. ACT Emergency Service and SES in particular has had a great deal of interest in becoming members, so much so that in this year's intake, there were about 200 members of the community interested in joining, and we've not been able to take on everyone.
That's a good problem to have though, right?
It is a good problem to have. You know, we want to have everybody join the SES. Unfortunately, you know, there are times, and the enrollment and the whole engagement of becoming a member, it's quite onerous in terms of capacity, etc. But we have had a good problem. It's not the same in other sectors of volunteering, and no. I guess the only thing that I would say is for anyone interested or anyone that has that kick in the stomach that says, oh, I want to give this a go, is just go out and give it a go, because the satisfaction, irrespective of the sector that you become part of, is really great.
Well, Gus, all the best to you, and it's great to hear that at least for the SES, they just can't accommodate the number of volunteers who wanted to put their hand up. And of course, if they can't get into that kind of organisation, I'm sure there's many others around the country that could do with the help. In the meantime, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Gus Sabatino, volunteer with the SES in Canberra, and you can tell how proud Gus is of the work he's been able to contribute as a volunteer to, as he calls them, the Orange People in Canberra. What have you been doing in your volunteering neck of the woods? Because we want to try and encourage more people to get involved. We're going to talk to the CEO of Volunteering Australia in just a moment, but let's take some of your calls because I want to hear your stories. Ruth is in Sydney. Ruth, you volunteer at the Sydney Jewish Museum.
I do. And I know that's not like the previous gentleman or Wheels on Wheels, which are wonderful organisations. But you know how you listen to the news and you think, God, this situation in the world is terrible. What can I do to stop it? I'm just one person. Well, at the museum, we talk to adults. We talk to students, thousands of them. And it's my way of talking about human rights and racism. We don't just talk about the Jewish Holocaust. We talk about the Armenian, Rwanda, all those terrible places, Kampuchea. We get guest speakers in. Not all the volunteers are Jewish. Many of them aren't. We've had Chinese and other non-Jewish volunteers. It's my way of giving back to the community, not just my community, but the whole community. And you might think the Holocaust Museum would be a really depressing place to work. Well, it is actually the most uplifting, supportive place with the most inspirational, amazing people in it. It's wonderful.
Oh, Ruth, that's a lovely description of what's going on there. And I think it's fantastic that you've acknowledged that it's not just about the Jewish Holocaust, but other moments in our world history where people have suffered immense harm. And there's
They actually have a human rights section now, which was the natural progression from the Holocaust.
Brilliant.
Covers the four areas of human rights the United Nations says Australia is falling down on. That's Aboriginal people, disabled, LGBT, and refugees. Oh, I've just reached the bus, children.
Oh, good. A broad church, and you found a dry spot for the bus. Ruth, lovely to talk to you. All the best, and great to hear from you. Let's go to Christine, who lives in the Bega Valley of New South Wales, one of the most beautiful areas of that state. Christine, you've started your own charity.
Yes, my husband and I moved down from Sydney about 7 years ago. We retired, theoretically, and got involved with the community And we ended up seeing, well, we saw that there was a great need for food and for community connection. So we started off by rescuing good food from the supermarkets and other places and distributing it. And then we thought, well, we haven't got a community pantry down here, so let's start one up. And that's what we did. We've been running now for nearly 5 years. We have a team of over nearly 40 volunteers, and they are the most amazing people. I'm actually in the pantry at the moment watching them working their little butts off, and cheery people they all are. And I tell you, I just love it. I feel so privileged to work with these people and to work with our customers.
I take it, Christine, that food security in that part of New South Wales has been an issue for some people who are vulnerable.
Look, it has been. I mean, long term, it has been. We have the highest number of homeless people per capita in New South Wales. We have a lot of people escaping domestic violence. In fact, I think I talked to three yesterday and loaded them up with food. We have the result of the bushfires. And we've also got now, we had the drought before that, then the bushfires, then just recently lots of heavy rain. And in fact, one of our volunteers was badly affected by that on her little farm, and she's been told by her therapist she has to come back here and volunteer for her mental health because she's getting extremely depressed.
So, as I mentioned earlier, there is some really strong medical basis for people being prescribed volunteering as a way of feeling better about themselves.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I can see some of our volunteers nodding away. I'm sure they agree with that. It makes them feel a lot better. Yep.
And that's great.
It's a community connection as well. Rather than being isolated at home, you're actually working with other people and you know you're doing something positive for your community.
Well, please say hello to all the volunteers working there as you talk to me, as you say, working their little butts off. And Christine, lovely to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye then.
Bye then. Christine from the Bega Valley. Let's go to Townsville. Stephen, hello.
Hi, Michael.
Tell people, Stephen, why you decided to call today. Would you like me to help?
Yes, please.
Okay. Stephen very kindly decided to call today because he has a vested interest in volunteering after experiencing deep loss in his own life. Stephen, would you like us to come back to you a little later when you're feeling a bit better about this, or do you want to keep going? Up to you. Completely up to you.
No, it's fine. Let's go.
Okay. So Stephen, tell people why it is you volunteer.
Okay. A couple of years ago, my eldest son took his own life, and I found it difficult to deal with.
Yes.
And still do.
Of course you do.
Big breath. Yeah. excuse me. But volunteering has brought me back, and it helps me cope with my grief.
How do you volunteer, Stephen? What do you do?
I'm a mentor driver for young people, so the organisation I volunteer for, Queensland Youth Services, provides free cars and mentoring for young Townsvillians, mainly from disadvantaged backgrounds, to obtain their 100 hours so they can get their P plates.
Oh, that's fantastic, because you know, in places like Townsville, if you don't have the ability or licence to drive, that can really cut back on your job prospects.
Exactly, but not only that, you're isolated. I had one young mother, single parent. Her ambition was to get a license so that one day she could go down to the coffee shop and just have a coffee with her friends.
Right.
Now, isn't that great? Just the freedom that it gives people. So, but apart from that, it helps me a lot. And I agree with you completely and all the other speakers. If you have the time, I highly recommend volunteering, because it can give you connection and purpose.
And a connection to the loss that you've had to deal with and are doing it in a way that is beneficial but to both you and the community you live in, Stephen. Hats off to you for that.
Yeah. It's hard sometimes, as you can probably hear in my voice. But it makes me better. And it gives me hope for our young people.
If I was able to be in the room with you, Stephen, I would give you a big manly hug right now. And thank you. Thank you so much.
I would take it, Mike.
Thank you so much, my friend. Lovely to hear from you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We'll come back to more of your stories about why volunteering matters to you and why you keep doing it. In the meantime, listening to all these stories and also to Gus Appetino earlier as a guest volunteer is the Chief Executive Officer of Volunteering Australia, Mark Pearce. Mark, welcome to the show.
Michael, good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for hanging on for so long, but I'm sure you appreciated some of the great strength of emotion and passion behind why people wanted to tell us their stories of volunteering.
It's for these stories and all of the others untold that we do the work we do, that we advocate for volunteering nationally, that we provide the facilitation for people to undertake volunteering, contribute to their communities. As you've heard, volunteering is a deeply personal thing. Mm. It has broad community advantages, and of course it has advantages to people on an individual basis, but it's a personal and deeply personal undertaking, and it provides extraordinary benefits for those who undertake it and for the communities that otherwise benefit.
Well, let's get into the pragmatics of volunteering, because I think it's important for us to recognise, along with the great goodwill and feeling that goes with helping other people who need your help and support without any transaction of payment occurring, we need to understand its overall impact on the economy. How important do you think volunteering has been to our economic recovery post-COVID?
Well, volunteering has taken quite the hit, as the broader society has. We've seen paid work recover, really quite nicely. We haven't seen that same snapback in terms of the volunteering participation, and we're still seeing that numbers are quite substantially lower than we would necessarily want them to be and necessarily need them to be. It's part of a longer-term decline that we've seen in formal volunteering, that is, volunteering for an organisation. So if we take some Australian Bureau of Statistics data and say in 2010, 36% of Australians volunteered their time, which is a great percentage. By 2019, that percentage had dropped to 29%. Some research that we commissioned with the Australian National University and released yesterday shows that that number has dropped further. And in fact, just in the last 12 months, we've seen a fall of 2.3 million volunteers to the overall volunteer base. So prior to COVID, 6 million people volunteered their time, 6 million Australians volunteered their time in and around community.
Right.
As a consequence of COVID, that's dropped by 2.3 million. If you talk about the economic contribution of volunteering, and this is merely considering volunteering on its replacement rate. That is, if you were to pay people to do the work that they do as volunteers, it accounts for around about $43 billion Australian dollars. $43 billion, that's with a B. Now, if you think about that in terms of the broader economy and you value that on a gross value-added basis, so rather than GDP, GVA takes out tax and subsidies.
Yeah.
It means that volunteering contributes more than accommodation, food services, and of course the information, media and telecommunications sector. It's a big part of the economy. And for that reason, we need it to be strong and well supported.
And Mark, I would hazard to guess that one of the reasons why, and you've mentioned that I think that the declines in volunteering rates were happening prior to pandemic, but certainly have been exacerbated by it. But, you know, one of the real issues here is it's one of those hidden benefits, because you can't necessarily measure, until maybe the same you research, you can't necessarily measure its economic loss when there's actually no monetary value attached to it in so many ways.
That's very true. And it's one of those things that has always been problematic in terms of the advocacy around volunteering, is that pinning a number on the contribution that volunteering makes. Now, as I said, purely on a replacement cost, $43 billion was the number that was estimated. As part of the research that we commissioned with ANU, and which was released yesterday, it estimated that had volunteering's contribution been considered as part of Treasury's data in terms of how the economy went through the COVID lockdowns and has recovered subsequently, we would actually see a decrease of around about 16.1% in economic output had volunteering been included in those official data. And this is one of the great problems, I suppose, that volunteering hasn't been considered in a strategic sense at a federal government level. So there isn't a whole of government strategy that sits around volunteering, despite the fact that, as I said, prior to COVID, 6 million Australians participated in volunteering. If you consider the paid workforce, it's about 13 million. So just a little bit under half the size, a huge proportion of Australians volunteered.
That's incredible. Let's hold that thought about the where to and future policy making around volunteering, Mark, because I want to go back to some more calls. My guest, Mark Pearce, CEO of Volunteering Australia, but waiting patiently to talk to us about their volunteering experiences. Geoffrey is in Hobart. Geoffrey, what are you up to in that beautiful city?
Oh, g'day. I'm just having a day off because my engine's overheated and I'm waiting for a tow truck. But
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in.
otherwise, I'd be actually hard at work, pretty much full-time volunteering for a couple of organisations.
Yeah.
I have a history of about 3.5 decades of alcohol dependence. And I just finished my rehabilitation for the, you know, over 15 years I've been trying, battling with this dependence. And intellectually, I always knew that volunteering was a good idea. But the thing about recovery is that it's a doing word. You actually have to get out there and put in some effort to make changes. And so I've ended up working for City Mission down here, sorting books and whatnot. And I've also undertaken a new role that they're developing down here in Tasmania as peer support workers in the AOD sector.
Right. Well, just explain to people that's alcohol and other drugs.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And how's that? What's that done for you, Geoffrey, those two roles as volunteers?
Well, it's giving me meaning and purpose. You know, people are grateful that I give my time, but I actually see it as actually it's giving to me. It's something that I actually need to do, is to get out the door every day, otherwise I'd be sitting at home ruminating. And then the mental health issues really kick in, you know, depression and anxiety.
Geoffrey, it's a really great example of just how much benefit flows both ways when someone who has some issues like yourself, who's acknowledged that to us, can help other people out. This is where giving to others gives to you. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to Julie in Canberra. Julie, you've done some volunteering in the past.
Yes, how is it
these days? How are you going with that?
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. Look, I've spent a number of years being closely involved in things like boards for community sector organisations around women's sexual health, etc. And like all your callers who have been so fantastic, I found it overwhelmingly positive being involved. You feel connected to your community and you get much more than you give. But I just wanted to make a bit of a counterpoint. I think we need to remember it's a bit more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
From my experience, and that's anecdotal, I understand it's a very gendered community, the volunteer community, and I think we need to acknowledge that the great rate of volunteering and the commitment and contribution people have made also enables government, I think, to sometimes underfund certain types of organisations, and I think we need to sort of acknowledge that. I think it also has a personal impact on some volunteers in a negative sense, that the good volunteers are expected to do more and more, and often when they're also parenting and caring for others at the same time. So I just wanted, I think, to put those points of view forward while not taking anything away from the positives of and the importance of volunteering.
I think that's a completely valid thing to do, and I'm really glad you raised it, Julie, because I might take those points right now back to Mark Pearce, CEO of Volunteering Australia. Mark, can I ask you, do you think Julie's really hit the mark there on a couple of issues within volunteering?
I think Julie's made some particularly relevant and really important points. And I suppose these hark back to the mention that I made of a lack of strategic consideration of volunteering. And certainly if you think across federal portfolios, every federal portfolio relies upon volunteering's contribution in some way, aside perhaps from defence. Every portfolio does. And yet there is no strategy that sits around how you involve volunteers, how you protect volunteers, how you ensure that the contribution is fair and reasonable. Whilst we, as Volunteering Australia, as the national peak, we have developed national standards which provide for some of those protections. The fact that volunteering in many ways, and I suppose this speaks to Julie's point, volunteering is a victim of its own success in many ways, because it takes place no matter what. When it's under-resourced and under-provided for, volunteers continue to turn up. They don't strike. They don't say, no, we're not going to do this because of. Volunteers turn up because, as I said, it is a deeply personal thing. I often say to people that, from my perspective, in the work that I do for Volunteering Australia and for the broader volunteering ecosystem, I see volunteering as a profound aspirational statement about the communities in which we live and how we want them to be, caring and inclusive, providing services and support. And it's for those reasons, and you've heard from the callers over the course of this morning, that it means the world to people. But we shouldn't forget the fact that volunteering is under-resourced and it doesn't have a strategic consideration at a federal level.
I want to go back to calls in just a second, and we haven't got much time, so I'm going to race through these calls. It doesn't mean I'm trying to be unkind, but I just want to hear everyone's story. Mark, before we do that, though, just very quickly, a quick question. Is there still some stereotypes around volunteering, namely that it's mostly older people and it's mostly women? Are those stereotypes valid or not?
Those stereotypes are there, but look, I don't necessarily think they're valid. If you think about the greatest bulk of volunteers, they sit in the age group of 45 to 55 years of age. There is a greater contribution from women. But additionally, we see that perhaps part of the most resilient part of the volunteering workforce, so to speak, are younger people. They're the ones where we've seen a lower decline in participation over the COVID period.
That's intriguing, really intriguing. Des, I'm going to come to you now. Des is in Melbourne. Now, Des, you had heart surgery at the age of 50. Was that a bit of a watershed moment for you and your attitudes towards volunteering?
Yes, it certainly was. I was an executive with a major multinational corporation who sent me all over the world and eventually to Australia. And I was earning a lot of money. I had heart problems when I was 50, and I had surgery that went wrong.
Yeah.
So I had to give up work. I was told by my doctors that I had to give up work, and I did nothing for quite a while to get over things. Then I started doing some voluntary work, and I started as an advocate for perpetrators and victims of crime with cognitive problems, as well as kids under 17 who got into trouble with the police or who were victims. I then became a director of a welfare organisation, and I started doing some voluntary counselling after a bit of training of vulnerable people that didn't have the money to pay for counsellors.
And Des, what has all this kind of work done for you as someone who was in the corporate sector earning high amounts of money? Where do you get your worth these days?
Well, that's what I wanted to come to. It's changed my thinking completely on a hell of a lot of things. I have grown personally, as a person. I've learnt. I thought I knew a lot about life in my job, in my permanent job. Right. But I found that a lot of people used to, not so much now because I'm older, but used to say to me, "What do you do?" You know, the normal chat, they'd say, "What do you do?" And I'd say, "I do voluntary work." And they'd say, "Well, but what do you do? What's your real work?" And they don't realize how valuable this is. I have learned more about life, and I've done more for humanity and for the community since I've been a volunteer than I ever did when I was earning a lot of money.
And there it is right there. Des, thank you so much. Let's go to Kerry. Kerry, I understand you joined Volunteers Abroad in Africa. You meant to stay for 2 years. How long did you stay for?
I was there for 10 years.
Okay, so obviously a complete change in your life from that.
Yep, that's right. It was. I went and I'd had some volunteering experience prior in community, but I went over there, and at the very end of my two-year contract, I met the man who is now my husband and decided that this had something and I was going to stay. So I continued volunteering in very grassroots organisations in the rural areas in the country that I was living in, and then came back to Australia after 10 years and continued to volunteer. And my first job was actually, I got a national role in an organisation as a volunteer manager. And then moved in Australia and started volunteering in my community garden and started up a volunteer program of collecting fruit and vegetables to redistribute to disadvantaged and vulnerable people in our community. And I'm just about to start a new volunteer role as a community visitor. It's a program where you're paired with an older person who's vulnerable and isolated.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it's so amazing to hear this started in Africa, yes, 10 years ago. Kerry, thank you. Let's go to Neil in Brisbane. Now, Neil, you volunteered for most of your life.
I have, Michael. Yeah. Found it very rewarding. It's sort of a nice sense of contributing. But I've moved back to Brisbane after a fairly successful career in Canberra and found it very difficult to find a volunteer position, mostly because of my disability. I'm an albino, so I've got the white hair and the white skin and about 5% eyesight. And yeah. I think a lot of charities don't know how to accept that people with disabilities can contribute rather than be the recipients of their charity.
Oh, that's an interesting point, Neil. So have you found a position to volunteer within?
Yes. At the moment, I'm volunteering at the Red Cross, which is great. But, you know, I'd like something that's got a few more hours in it than this one.
Oh, you're not getting enough volunteering hours, Neil.
It's interesting when you go to organisations and they say things to you like, well, how would you get here? Or can you walk around without falling over things? It sort of seems that they find it very difficult to, you know, to take the blinkers off, I suppose, and see what people can contribute.
Neil, that is a really good point to make. Thank you so much. Our final call today is in Tasmania. Louise, you're in a village called Chudley. Is that right?
That's correct, Michael, and it's called Chudley, the Village of Roses. And the volunteers in the Chudley community are just amazing. And the welfare and the well-being and the mental health of our community is very strong. We maintain our community hall and gardens. We have the annual show. We have the rose gardens where people come out and maintain the gardens as a group. So we have the fantastic, I was really surprised when I came to Chubby, the amount of volunteers and the commitment and the consistency of the efforts to maintain a really healthy village.
That is brilliant. So it sounds like you've got 80 volunteers in the village. How many more people aren't volunteering? Not many.
You know, there are a lot of volunteers have been doing it for decades and they're getting older.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an incredible environment to be in regards to people giving their time and effort, looking out for each other, understanding what's happening. I can't recommend it highly for any other small town or village to really gather your volunteers together, because our community hall and gardens are fantastic. Our annual show is amazing. This year alone we've put on Australian Day breakfast. We've celebrated International Women's Day. The planning school holiday program, all this is done in an ad hoc, no real serious coordination, but it's just people coming together and being familiar with each other and just doing it.
Fantastic, Louise. Thanks so much for calling in. Louise from Chudley in Tassie, a village that almost seems designed to volunteer. Mark, we've only got about a minute left before we have to say goodbye. Mark Pearce is the CEO of Volunteering Australia. I'm noticing from some calls there, Mark, as we talk here about the future of gathering volunteering back into our day-to-day lives so that we increase the hours that we've lost and that ANU research has actually exposed, that some people, Neil, for example, is finding it hard within his local patch to find the space to volunteer. What can you suggest for people who now may be fired up and want to contribute their own hours?
Well, I think that we need to reimagine volunteering, that we need to provide better opportunities, and also to recognise the fact that volunteering doesn't need to just take place within organisations. There is a raft of opportunities to volunteer outside of organisations, micro-volunteering, virtual volunteering, informal volunteering, which takes place very much within community and without those structures that necessarily are provided by organisations. And so I suggest to people, look around your communities, look around your neighbourhoods, see what clubs and organisations there are, but also get online and have a look. There are lots of platforms which provide for volunteering outside of organisations.
Mark, it's been fabulous to have you on. Thanks so much indeed.
Thank you.